Hi, it's Diane, and this episode was recorded live at a virtual retreat that I conducted called Analysis Paralysis, Ways to Overcome Overthinking. So enjoy this episode as it was recorded live.
If you are listening to this podcast, it means you are searching. Searching for someone who understands you, someone who gets you. You are yearning to be understood and to belong. Welcome to the Someone Gets Me podcast, where we help smart, talented, and sensitive people navigate an often insensitive world. Let's welcome your host, ambassador, author, speaker, and mentor, Diane Allen. Diane has the experience and knowledge to educate and inspire, as she has been there and understands your unique intensities and their challenges.
Good evening, and tonight we're talking about analysis paralysis, solutions for overthinking. And I'm Diane Allen, and we are going to have such a blast tonight. We're going to talk about why you overthink, how you know you overthink, but most importantly, by the end of tonight, we are going to have everything handled for what to do to change the fear, to change your mindset, and to be sure that you have a plan moving forward. So we're going to get started. First, with 9 signs that tell you you are an overthinker. And this is important to realize because a lot of times people don't realize how big overthinking is in their world. It's very pervasive, and sometimes it shows up in ways that not everybody realizes. So I want to get us all on the same page. So the 9 signs go like this. Sign number 1 is regular insomnia. This means that you either have difficulty falling asleep or you sleep too long and because you're waking up a lot, or every time you shut your eyes, your brain starts going. Like maybe you want to take a nap because you're a little tired, and the moment you close your eyes, your brain gets really, really busy, almost to the point where it paralyzes you from being able to sleep at all. Sometimes you find that your mind races even when you're trying to rest. So like you're trying to be quiet, or you're trying to be still, or maybe you're trying to listen to somebody and you just find your brain just wired up. So the insomnia comes from overthinking. That's the first sign. And that's kind of an obvious one. I have some people who track their sleep on a Fitbit or on a sleep monitor, and they find that they're tossing and turning and restless and awake much more frequently in the night than they realize. So if you're waking up tired, or you realize that it's hard to go to sleep, overthinking might be part of the culprit. Number 2 is living in fear. The biggest fear that really affects overthinking is the fear of the future. You know, what's going to happen, how things are going to be, what's going to happen with this meeting, how is this person going to react? All of that future thinking, anything beyond this moment right here, can create overthinking. And it creates all kinds of stress on the system. In fact, this is the number 1 fear that causes different forms of addiction, like alcohol addiction, drug addiction, food disorders, and things like that. Often the person is full of fear, they're overthinking about the future, and they have to find a way to try to stop it. And the way a lot of people choose to stop it is with some kind of medicating behavior. Could be gambling, workaholic, anything like that. So living in fear is a big issue. It's big because of the fear of the future. It is also big because of the fear of not getting what I want or losing what I have. So again, that has to do with the future. And sometimes it's a global future, and sometimes it's something specific. Like I want this certain goal and I'm afraid I'm not going to get it. Or I have these things and I'm afraid I'm going to lose them. Like when the hurricane came through Florida. Or things like that where people get afraid. It makes them overthink. Number 3 is somebody, this is a good one, somebody who overanalyzes everything. And so this person overthinks the main problem, and then they think they have to control the outcome and what happens and who does what and how the play out is. And they add a ton of anxiety to it because they want to be able to predict things and have it all analyzed out and figured out, and they can't completely predict it, and so that makes them overthink more. I can always tell when somebody that I know is doing the overthinking in this area because they keep saying, I got to figure it out. I got to figure it out. I got to figure it out. And the answer is not always in figuring. Even Einstein told us that. So when we overthink, we cause all kinds of discomfort because we are wanting to control something that's not controllable. These people often have that fear of the unknown. And so when we're analyzing and overthinking, that's where the analysis paralysis comes from. It's that fear of the unknown. I don't know how this is, something is going to turn out, or how a relationship is going to go, or anything. Could be just a big existential unknown. And that is a very big one. Number four, fear of failure. Overthinkers have an incessant desire for perfection in everything they do. And that can cause trouble. Fear of failure is our fourth way you know you're an overthinker. Because if you have a hard time accepting failure, you will go out of your way and use all your power to try to avoid it. And then what happens is you end up doing nothing or procrastinating or causing the very thing that you're afraid of having. So again, you become paralyzed because you do nothing because you don't want to risk failure, but that yields failure. So it keeps this vicious cycle going. And the overthinking that is the effect of the cause of the fear of failure can really negatively impact your life. So one of the things that helps with this particular area is learning a different definition of failure, because you probably have a belief system around failure that's not working any longer. And to practice releasing this whole perfectionism thing that it has to be perfect. So there's different levels here for overthinkers, but the fear of failure is a big one. It can be the fear of failure in a relationship. Sometimes that's why overthinkers have a hard time committing to certain kinds of relationships, whether it's business or romantic or whatever, because they're afraid it's going to end and they're afraid of the failure before they even get started. And so it can create all kinds of havoc. Number five is constantly second guessing yourself. Overthinkers are notorious for always double checking, second guessing, overanalyzing, constantly reanalyzing, and then they'll analyze the analyzing. So it's like they analyze and then they reanalyze and then they triply analyze and they keep on going to the point where it probably exhausts them and everyone around them. And so when we're constantly second guessing ourselves and always wondering, did I make the right decision? Did I make the wrong decision? What about this? What about that? That drives up the adrenaline. It keeps the system going and it creates problems. One of the big problems this kind of overthinking creates is having a foggy brain, meaning sometimes a hard time remembering things, sometimes forgetting what you're talking about in the middle of it, sometimes having difficulty with a clear direction, where you might have the skill set and even the ability to have clarity, yet the clarity eludes you. And that would be because of always second guessing and always double checking and redouble checking. And this is a kind of overthinking that's exhausting. So typically when somebody comes to me and they're exhausted and they're talking about all of this tiredness that comes from their overthinking, I typically say, okay, they probably have a lot of things that they're second guessing themselves about. This is common in people who are intelligent and gifted, and it's common in people who have overexcitabilities. There's such a thing as called imposter syndrome that a lot of gifted people go through. And this second guessing yourself is a way to tell that that could be an issue. And imposter syndrome means that people might think what you're doing takes much more work and is harder than it actually is for you. Because if you're smart and gifted, or it's along the lines of something you know, you could probably do it much quicker than other people might think. And so when they say, great job, you must have worked hard, and you're thinking, well, not that hard. And then that means, then you could start guessing, second guessing and saying, oh my God, maybe I'm an imposter. Maybe I'm not doing it right. Or maybe they think I'm working hard and I'm not working hard and they think I'm a fake now, you know, or what if they find out? So there's all of that kind of mental obsessing that goes around this kind of overthinking. And that's a clear indication that you're overthinking too much. Number six is frequent headaches. And not a lot of people think that overthinking and headaches go together, even though to me they do, because when you're overthinking, your poor brain never gets a break. But what also doesn't get a break is the rest of your body. And so oftentimes people who are overthinking have a little bit of higher adrenal stand, you know, it's kind of like a little bit on the emergency stage. So maybe a little anxiety, a little bit of hypervigilant observing, those kinds of things. And when you don't rest your mind, it ends up making your body hurt and your head hurt. So sometimes regular headaches come from overthinking. It's a big one because a lot of people don't realize they're connected. So sometimes if I have somebody telling me, well, I have a lot of headaches, you know, and what they've done, maybe a CAT scan, or maybe they checked their sinuses and there's nothing else wrong, but they still have these kind of headaches bothering them. When I start looking at the way they are communicating or talking to themselves, their brain never gets a break. They never meditate. They never quiet down. They never just give themselves like a veg out type of time where they can just stop the crazy thinking, and it will make your head hurt. Number 7 is stiff muscles and stiff joints. So believe it or not, overthinking does affect all of you, like I kind of alluded to in the previous one. Your physical body is affected by everything you think. So think about it this way. Your body is neutral. It's like the white, pure canvas in the morning. It is colored and changed and responds to everything you think. So if you're thinking too much and you're overthinking, and maybe you have fear in there, or maybe you have upset in there, or maybe you just are going on multiple levels, it will cause dehydration. It will also cause exhaustion and lethargy. And those two things, the exhaustion particularly, will cause stiffness in your muscles and joints. And so a lot of people think their muscles and joints are stiff and that's why they're tired, but it's they're tired first and then the muscles and joints are stiff. And usually it's from overthinking. And so it affects the entire body. And a lot of times people who have these aches and pains all over and the stiffness could relieve a lot of the stiffness by controlling their mind and controlling their brain and giving it a rest and not overthinking anymore. That's a big one. I know whenever my knees get stiff, I can pay attention to my mind. Sure enough, I'm overthinking. And when I stop thinking and I meditate or I do some of the strategies I'm going to teach you to calm it down, the stiffness goes away. So personally, I know this one's true. Number 8. This is the biggest complaint that I get as a result of overthinking, and that is fatigue. That the entire system gets exhausted and your body doesn't tune in properly. You know, it's kind of like you're living from the head up. It's difficult to listen to. So somebody who's fatigued and overthinking is not as good of a listener as they might think they are, because the fatigue and the overthinking are running interference. So your intentions might be good. You might think that you're on top of it, but in reality, if overthinking is going on, it messes up the signals of the listening and your ability to actually take things in. Fatigue also gets in the way of your rest, because if you get too tired and you're fatigued over a period of time, your cortisol level will be off and you'll go to sleep maybe, and then you wake up like a shot in an hour and a half, 2 hours. And that's a cortisol spike that wakes you up, because that's what cortisol does, but it's not supposed to happen that quick. It happens when your body's over-fatigued, though, and it also happens when you're thinking too much. So these kinds of exhaustion and overthinking and fatigue and all of those, you see how they are kind of meld together, because in fact, they are all hooked together. So it's not one or the other or this isolated thing. They all work together. If you try to think all the time and you're always figuring and planning and always creating even, then your brain's not a machine and you can't be thinking 24/7, right? And so what happens is you get burned out. Your brain gets tired and you say, I'm not doing it anymore. Or you find out that people want more out of you, or you're trying to do more and you keep trying to push and you keep trying to think, but everything feels like it's hitting a wall. And that's because you're trying to do too much too fast, and you're creating a deeper exhaustion than just being tired because you ran around all day. And number 9 is the inability to stay present in the moment. It's funny because so many people are talking about be in the now and be in the moment while they're thinking about the future, or they're living in the past, or they're thinking about something else. So you can always tell if you're overthinking, if you're having a hard time being in the moment and just enjoying life as it is and having a good time. if you're not able to do that, then you're a victim of overthinking in that moment. Now, the people who chronically are unable to be in the moment and have a good time end up with all kinds of anxiety or difficulty medically and mental health wise, because it takes the system and just puts too much pressure on it. Now, there are also times that you could be overthinking, not be in the present moment for isolated periods of time. Like sometimes I'm an introvert, and so if I'm in a networking situation or something and nothing's really grabbing my attention, then I might be over, you know, I might not be in that moment. I might be thinking about something else and then come back to the moment. In that moment, I'm overthinking because I'm distracted from the present moment. But in that moment, it's also not chronic. I come back. It's when somebody's chronically overthinking that they perpetuate the fatigue and exhaustion and the brain fog. And so you can kind of think that if you have more fatigue, more exhaustion, more kind of fogginess, more difficulty, then that means that the overthinking is probably more of a chronic situation or ongoing situation versus somebody who overthinks in spurts. So not all overthinking is bad. It is the amount, and it is a focus, and it is what you're doing about it that really makes the difference. Because some people, gifted people especially, we think a lot and we can overthink. If we're aware of it, we don't let fear and distraction and anxiety get in the way, because it's the fatigue that comes from it that gets us in trouble and gets us down the wrong road. So it's a balancing act. It would be crazy for me to tell a bunch of smart, gifted people, well, never overthink again, because it's not going to happen. But what does matter is that we know what to do and be able to identify, oh, wow, I'm not able to stay in the moment, or boy, I'm really tired, or how come I'm so stiff all the time? And then to be able to look at ourselves and see where the overthinking is and notice what's going on and ask ourselves, is it overthinking that's necessary for a goal that I'm working on? Or is it obsession and thrashing or things like that? So there's lots of different qualities here. And I don't always want people to think, well, oh, all overthinking is bad, or I overthink so it's wrong. Or the other side of the coin, people who brag about being an overthinker like it's some badge of courage, because it's not. It causes trouble if left without some kind of balance and some kind of health that goes with it. So it's one of those many things that, yes, we do it some, but if you do it too much, it can cause you trouble. So what I want to do now is pause the recording and then talk about any of these 9 things we want to talk about, and then we can go from there.
I hope you've enjoyed part 1 of this 4-part series. Find the other 3 parts in different episodes on the Someone Gets Me podcast. Check our listing to see the other parts. Be well.
Are you tired of searching for someone who understands you? Join our Facebook group, Someone Gets Me. In this group, you will be able to connect with others who are intense, sensitive, smart, talented, and wanting to be understood. Diane shares her insights and teachings, and you can connect with others. Join today.